We don't sugarcoat shit. This is Renegade Talk Radio. Renegade Talk
Radio. Hello, all you dirty little Renegade Nation listeners out there. Welcome to Renegade Talk Radio in Boston. In case you forgot who I am, I'm the Boston single girl, Kenzie Vixen, and this is Vixen's View, where I get to share all of the filthy thoughts in my head about dating, sex, and love with all of Renegade Nation. And I have a sexy secret to share with you. Come closer so I can whisper the dirty details in your ear. This secret is only available to my Renegade Talk Radio listeners, so listen up. If you're looking for a little naughtiness, head over to toysforpleasure.vegas and check out the selection. Everything from the hottest new toys, sexy lingerie, lubes, and DVDs to start things off with a bang. Oh, and just for being one of my sexy listeners, you'll receive 20% off any item and free shipping on all orders over $99. Just use the offer code Kenzie, K-E-N-Z-Y, to take advantage of this special deal. And now that I've got you all ready with toys and lube and videos and whatever else it is that you kinky little people are into, I want to share some feedback that I've gotten recently about the show, which, by the way, love hearing from you guys, so keep it up. I don't care if it's good, bad, you tell me I suck, you tell me you want to fuck me, whatever. Just keep the feedback coming, because that's what helps me to give you guys what it is that you want to hear. I mean, yes, this is my show, and it's me, but I love hearing from you guys. So if there's something you want me to talk more about, something you want me to talk less about, definitely let me know. So recently received a couple emails. I'm gonna share them with you guys. I'm not gonna give you their names. I won't out them. I won't out the listeners. But so one message is about the show that I did over the holidays about caging your cuckold. And I think that was the first cuckold episode that I did. And I'll link to it in the description for today's show. So the comment is, cuckolding is only popular because porn addicts are so desensitized to the vanilla stuff that they've reprogrammed their brains to like watching rather than participating. And now they need humiliation to get them off the way vanilla porn used to. So when I read this, and this comment came in from YouTube, and at first I'm like, what the fuck is he saying? Like, this is a dude, okay? So it was a dude who made this comment. And I'm like, first of all, what's the vanilla stuff? Like, I put that in terms of swinging lifestyle. And we refer to people, you know, vanilla, as people who are not in the lifestyle. But when it comes to porn, what do you consider vanilla stuff? Like, that definition could be different for every fucking person. So maybe somebody's not into BDSM, so they consider anything else that's beneath that to be vanilla porn. So anal's okay. Like, this whole comment, I really have dissected it, and I'm probably giving it way too much thought. But let me see if I can try to dumb it down. So he's saying that the only reason why cuckolding has become such a popular fetish is because people who are addicted to watching porn, and now he uses vanilla stuff, but I'm going to take that word out. And he's saying people who are addicted to watching porn have become desensitized and can no longer get off just by having sex. And maybe it's the sex like they're seeing in porns. Maybe that's what he's trying to get at here. But he's saying that they're so desensitized to the vanilla stuff that they've reprogrammed their brains to like watching rather than participating. And that might be true for some people. So I'll give him that. That might be true for some people. However, there are plenty of men out there and women. I mean, I love watching other people in real life on TV, but I'm not desensitized and I'm certainly not reprogrammed to like watching rather than participating. I fucking love participating. I love having the shit fucked out of me. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And I would never give up the physical act of sex over watching. So that clearly is somebody who has an addiction to watching. If you would give up the physical over watching, or if you that's the only way you can get off is by watching. If you can't get off from fucking something or someone, then that's a whole different problem. And I don't think that, you know, for this comment, I don't think that that has anything to do with cuckolds or a cuckold fetish or a cuckold relationship. I don't think that has anything to do with it. In my understanding and in my life, a cuckold scenario or a cuckold relationship is more of a BDSM thing. It's more of a dom sub thing on some levels. And as I've described in the past, so I don't understand the whole, you know, that they like to watch rather than participate. Like I agree with it in one point, and then on the other hand, I'm like, what? Because not every cuckoldress allows her cuckold to watch. So, I mean, that's something that I do because I get off on being watched. I love watching. I love being watched. I love being fucked. I love it all. So, in that manner, I don't think that this person quite grasps what a cuckold relationship or what a cuckold is, because not all, like I said, not all cuckoldresses allow the cuckold to watch. Some of them, you know, the hot wife or you know, whoever, the female counterpart might go off and have dates and fuck people without the cuckolds being part of it, without him being present, without his knowledge, certainly without his consent, because you don't need his fucking consent. So, yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this comment. And, you know, he's the commenter goes on to say that now, because they've become so desensitized and reprogrammed, that now they need that humiliation to get them off, the way that watching quote-unquote vanilla porn, whatever that is, the way that watching porn used to be able to do that for them. And again, that's somebody with a true porn addiction. That's not, you're not describing the average cuckold or the average cuckold relationship. You're describing somebody that has a true porn addiction. And the two do not go hand in hand. And that is definitely something that has to be differentiated. And if this person, you know, I'm sure if you're listening again, you know who you are, you know that you made this comment, I would gladly love to speak with you more about this and help educate you on this. So please reach out. You can email me, any of my listeners, any of you can email me at any time. Boston, Boston single girl at gmail.com. You could also go to my website, bostonsinglegirl.com, and just, you know, I would love to open the dialogue and really discuss this and have people truly understand, what this fetish is and the couples who participate in this, or whether it be, you know, as a lifestyle choice for their relationship, or whether it is, simply a just a a fantasy that they act out from, you know, every now and then. Okay, so enough about caging and cuckolding, and although I could go on and on and on all day about that. So I received another comment that really pissed me off, actually, when I read it. Like, at first, I cracked up laughing, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, wow, this really pisses me off. Because he called me, again, another man, or at least someone portraying themselves as a man. He really called me a name that I consider to be a vile insult. And when I tell you what this word is, you may or may not be surprised. But I just, this is like the worst thing he could possibly call me. So again, it was the same episode, the Cage Your Cuckold that I did over the holidays. And his comment is, this woman was turning me on until her feminist side came out. And again, I laughed at first, but the more I've thought about this comment, the more it fucking pisses me off. Because the last thing on the planet I am is a fucking feminist. Those people, those types of women, and anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis and is not just judging me on one episode, anybody who listens to the show on a regular basis knows I'm anything but a fucking feminist. If you've listened to any of the episodes I've done about relationships and gender roles in relationships and how I actually have very old-fashioned values when it comes to gender roles and relationships, then you would not use that word, that horrible, disgusting word to describe me, okay? When I think of the word feminist, I think of all the man-hating, bra-burning, vagina-hat-wearing pigs who are marching through the streets of every major metropolitan city these days, Boston included, claiming that every man is a chauvinist pig and everything out of every man's mouth or anybody with a penis, because, you know, let's just be politically correct now and not call them men. Most of them are not men. But they just, these women or people with vaginas, because just I'm going to call them people with vaginas, are walking around with, you know, as grown-ass adults and bringing little girls into this. That's not empowering to walk around wearing a vagina hat. Who wants to be walking around looking like a pussy? You know, and then you want people to respect you? So that word alone just bugs the fuck out of me, because honestly, I feel like feminists are everything that's wrong with today's society. And to be called that, all right, anyways, I'm going to go off on a rant on that later. I'm going to stop myself, and I'm going to comment specifically to this man. And he said that I was turning him on until my feminist side came out. So let me just take a step back for a little bit and think about that, which I've done for the past couple days. Like I said, when I first read that, I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. And the more I've thought about it, the more pissed off it made me. But I've gone back and I listened to that episode, The Cage Your Cuckold. And I'm trying to determine at what point did he feel like I was being a feminist. So clearly I was turning him on, because he says that this woman was turning me on until her feminist side came out. So what part of this was feminist? Is it the fact that I was exerting some control over a man? Is that what it was? Is it because clearly that turns you on? So how can you call me a feminist? Clearly, knowing that I caged a man's cock and held it captive while I sucked and fucked another man and made my caged cuckold watch. Clearly, that made your balls throb. Clearly, that made your cock so hard that you wished you were the one able to fuck me. Or maybe you wished you were the one that was in the cage. So, whichever it is, at what point in listening to that show did you decide that it no longer turned you on? Was it when your wife or your girlfriend or maybe your mother, because you're probably living in your mother's basement? Was it when the female in your household walked in and caught you with your cock in your hand, jerking off to me telling you the story of how I caged and cucked a man and made him completely submissive to me, how I made him come on my toes after I was well fucked by my bull? Is that what it was? Knowing that he couldn't fuck me? Is that what made you lose interest? Because clearly you don't understand what a cuckold relationship or a cuckold fetish is. If you think that I was being a feminist at any point there, being a dominant, alpha, independent woman is not what being a feminist is. I am very alpha. I'm very dominant. And yes, fiercely independent. But this was a sex act. This was me playing a role. And yes, I absolutely, it makes my pussy wet. I get off on this. I do. I love being a dom. I really do. And I'm just trying to figure out at what point, you know, he said this woman was turning me on until her feminist side came out. Is it the words that I used to humiliate my cuckold? Because, quite frankly, maybe you've just never had a woman who was as in control as I am and who put you in your place where you fucking belong, which is on your knees serving a superior cunt. Did that turn you on? Or do you still think that my feminist side is coming out? I want all of you to mull that over, because I'm really going to go at this whole feminist thing when we come back. And how feminism has been the death of sex, love, and relationships. All the things that I talk about. But while you wait for me to return, why don't you head on over to Sky Pilot Radio, where you can listen to the hits of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and pretty soon 90s and 2000s. Just take a listen over there at skypilotradio.com, and I will be right back.
Are your freedoms being destroyed?
Like free speech?
Shut up!
Then fucking stay here and be blunt about it.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
We'll be right back.
So Carrie and Bush are from the Skull and Bones Club
of
Yale.
Skull and Bones, which is the beginning of their rituals into the satanic orders, is basically what it is. One of the initiation rites of the Skull and Bones is to screw one man, screwing the other one. Anal sex, okay? John Kerry Cohen gave George Bush Jr. his satanic rites, and they lay down in a coffin full of mud to do this in.
So you're saying that John Kerry and George Bush had anal sex together in college in a coffin full of mud?
That's right. Okay. I am saying that. And because John Kerry Cohen gave George Bush Jr.
Okay, Carol. So Carol, what do you have to say about that?
Sounds pretty shitty to me.
Blunt. Do you like to be blunt?
Absolutely.
We don't sugarcoat shit.
Listen Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Standard Time.
You'll hear things you've never heard before.
Renegade Talk Radio.
Do you ever walk in and find your husband quickly zipping up his pants?
Excuse me.
Does your husband suffer from chapped dick? Then he may be addicted to porno. Mine was, and he left me to go be number 73 in the world's biggest gangbang. Did you know that 1 out of 3 marriages are ruined by excessive porno?
Shut up, bitch.
Mine was.
Right.
If you think your husband has a porno habit, help that nasty bastard before it goes too far. The early warning signs are there. Ask him to do a self-exam.
If you watch porno before 10 a.m., if you know the name of any guy in porno besides Ron Jeremy, if you can't get aroused unless you hear this, you may be addicted to porno. If you're willing to donate your spine to Larry Flint, if your woman has thrown away all of your porno tapes and you masturbate to The View,
Star Jones.
If you like your woman to shower in 5-inch pumps, if you think the only way to get your woman pregnant is by shooting sperm in her eye, you might be addicted to porno.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but double anal penetration is just not my cup of tea.
Party pooper.
So if you think your husband is addicted to porno, please call 1-800-I-SEE-YOUR-ASS today.
That's 1-800-I-SEE-YOUR-ASS.
Excuse me. Hey.
Call today.
Oh. Ooh. Oh. Oh, God. Ooh. Oh, God. Oh. 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 Oh, God. Oh, yeah, right there. Oh. 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 Oh, God. Oh, yes. 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 Oh. Oh, yes. 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 Oh. Oh, God. Oh.
Have what she's having.
Stick this in your ear.
The number one internet shock radio network.
Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
Renegade Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Vixen's View on Renegade Talk Radio Boston. So, as I promised, I am going to go off on a fucking rant about the whole feminist thing and how really modern day feminism is, it's just been the downfall of society, of relationships, of love, of sex, of just, it's really the cancer in American society, that and political correctness. And I'm probably going to lose whatever female listenership I have, but I'm okay with that because this just has to be said, especially on a show that's about sex, love, and relationships. I need to talk about this, and I have talked about it in the past. I did a show, Keep the Kink Alive, the Fetishes, Fantasies, I went on a rant, actually, on one of the shows about porn and porn addiction and the battle of the sexes. And that show was back in February, and I'm going to link to that so that you can go back and listen to that as well. But that show, I expressed my very, I'm not going to use the word conservative, very old-fashioned, I would say, views. For the most part, I mean, considered old-fashioned by today's standards, definitely. But I really do, when it comes to gender roles, I really do have, old-fashioned views and opinions on gender roles when it comes to dating and relationships and marriage and, you know, so that person, the listener who called me a feminist, it really got under my skin. Okay, because I am a female who hates feminism. I think that feminism has drastically changed over the years. Back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, when this movement kind of took over, it was really, I mean, it started in a positive way. It started as a way for women to kind of break out of being kept at home. We had no options. it wasn't an option in the, you know, the 50s or even really into the 60s, I would say. Not that I know personally, but just, you know, from studying history, definitely the 50s, probably into the 60s. It probably wasn't until really the 70s. I mean, women felt trapped in their marriages, even if it was a bad marriage, because the man was the head of the household and the man made all of the decisions and the little woman was just there to cook and clean and that line in the in traditional wedding vows, especially Christian wedding vows, is, you know, to love, honor, and obey. And it was only the female who had to that obey part. That I don't agree with. Okay? Does that make me a feminist? Hell no. That makes me a woman. Like, I think that feminism was off to a good start with trying to kind of have a little bit more equality, more rights for women. So the right for women to choose to stay at home or to go into the workplace. The right for women to choose to simply be a housewife. But I shouldn't say simply, because then that degrades women who make that choice. But you know, you had the it gave women the option of either choosing to be a housewife, and maybe that meant children, and maybe it didn't, or going off and getting an education, or, you know, just simple things. And it started off as a positive thing. But the more our society has been infected with feminism, it has changed. Each generation has changed that original definition to mean something else. And I think this is like the third wave of feminism is what they're calling it now. But this modern day feminism really has killed American society. Because let's face it, ladies, women, girls, whatever you want to be called, chicks, hoes, we are the ones in charge of society. Okay? It has been that way since the dawn of time. It doesn't matter how oppressed women felt, even in Victorian times. Women are we are the compass of society. We are the ones who steer things in one direction or the other. It is our influence as females that directs the men to make choices that they make. And you cannot, I don't care how much of a feminazi you are, you cannot deny that pure and simple fact. And if you try to deny it, and I invite you to argue this point with me, if you try to deny it, I invite you to open a fucking history book and read. Because women have always been the compass of society. And right now, the fucking compass is broken. Okay? Women, you need to get your head out of your twat, and you need to have some fucking self-respect. And the marching around wearing vaginas on your heads and dressing up little girls like pussies is not respecting yourself. It's not respecting women, and it's not teaching anybody to respect women. So, since my show is mostly about sex, love, and relationships, I just want to talk about how modern day feminism really has killed these concepts of love and dating and marriage and relationships. And just, I mean, you don't have to look that far back in history to see the vast differences between dating even 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not talking about dating in your grandparents' era. You know, I'm not talking about the 40s and 50s. I'm not talking about, let's compare 2017 to 1955. I'm talking about even a generation ago. So maybe your parents' generation or, in the 80s, even, you know, maybe is it still the generation before? So right now, the kids are too young for dating because anybody in this current generation, which remains nameless, it was born in like 2012. So millennials cover from 1984, I believe, to like 2013 or 2011. Those generation lines are always weird. But so that the early stages of that generation, so anybody born in 1984, 85, you kind of came of age, let's say, in the 90s. So you dated in the 90s. Maybe it was the late 90s, maybe it wasn't. But dating then compared to now, so now those people, you know, the first of the millennial generation are now in their 30s. And to think back, if you're still single, to think back to what dating was in the 90s, even to what it is now, holy fucking shit. It's so drastically different. But first, let me just back up, okay? Because I'm all for girl power, and you all know that. I am always rah, 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 and women being empowered, and I don't like the sex shaming. I do think in those respects that we need to be, you know, I don't like double standards of any kind. So I just want to kind of highlight some of the extreme differences between men and women and kind of things that go completely against this whole idea of gender equality. Okay. Women right now are actually doing better in terms of having equal rights to men in the United States than ever before. Okay, we have more rights in the US than any other country in the world. And yet we still have women marching in the streets, screaming, equal rights, gender equality. Why don't you fucking go live in another country and see how good you have it here? We have the right to be the assumed caregivers of the children or to not be. We have the right to call unwanted, coerced, forced sex exactly what it is, rape. We have the right to choose parenthood or choose not to. Gender equality has evolved tremendously, and a lot of it goes unnoticed by these same women who are screaming for gender equality. I mean, it's inevitable. Men and women, there are several differences between us. There are divides between us mentally and physically, the way that just biology between the male and the female body, that these are things that we will never be equals on. And we shouldn't be. Equality, like, think about it from an economic standpoint. And I know I'm going to get a little political here, okay? But feminism has become this ridiculous political thing. If we're talking about equality, equality is not all it's cracked up to be, because equality means you can never exceed, you can never excel or have, you're not empowered to do more, because then everybody else has to be brought up to that level as well to keep everybody equal and keep the playing field equal. And that's not realistic. In reality, I mean, you're talking some George Orwell 1984 shit. If you want everybody to be exactly equal, that's not fun. That's not, creativity does not come from everybody being exactly the same. Weren't we all taught, I'm speaking to the women here, weren't we all taught to be ourselves and be individuals and don't follow the crowd? But now you all want to be exactly the same. Tell me how that makes any fucking sense. Okay? Yeah, there were periods in time where women weren't able to do the same jobs as men. But Now we're able to do those as long as we can keep up with the same physically grueling labor that, that men can do. If you're physically capable of that, then go for it. And day in and day out, women are proving that you can take on those same tasks that, you know, any average man can. Feminism used to mean that women were able to have the same rights that men do, but it has fucking flipped a switch and morphed into something entirely fucking different. Nowadays, if you tell a woman to smile, then you're automatically being a sexist. If you tell a woman, oh, you're beautiful, you're reducing her to nothing but her looks. If you tell her she's intelligent, then you're sexist for assuming that she's smart and more than just her outward appearance. Fucking serious. Like, I feel bad for men these days because you don't know what to say because some chick may fucking blow. You're a sexist. You're all because he's trying to pay you a compliment. Okay, and yes, there are men out there that are sexist and are misogynistic and are chauvinistic, but that's, ladies, that's not every person with a penis. Can we just get a fucking grip? All right? These generalizations that the entire male population is horrible and they're cruel and they're women degrading pigs. Like, we need to just get over that. Modern feminism is overloaded with hypocrisy, with lies, with double standards. It's become incapable of defending itself without also denouncing itself at the very same time. We basically, like, I'm not going to say we because I am not part of this at all. I am not a modern day feminist. I am not. Because these women who are part of this movement, they do exactly to men the things that they don't want done to them. They are cruel. They objectify. They degrade. They basically cast men aside as well, you're unnecessary. And that's not true. This the human race needs both men and women. That's how we keep the human race alive and going. And there are beautiful things about both genders. So don't just cast them aside. Trust me, I fully support, and you all know this, I fully support being a strong and powerful and independent woman. But that doesn't mean that I need to put down the other gender in order to make myself feel more dominant. Now, all kidding aside, like, you know, yes, in the bedroom, I love to be the dominant, you know, but I also love to be dominated. Okay, so let's put that in sex perspective. But I don't need to dominate the person I'm having sex with, whether that's a man or a woman, I don't need to dominate that person to make myself feel better about me. That's not what it's about. Men are not dominant over women, and women are not dominant over men. Okay? It just as a general rule. And in all reality, feminism is what we make of it, okay? There are still gaps in gender equality. There are still circumstances where women are not equal to men. And you know what? That might be okay. Because, like I said, equality is not all it's cracked up to be. And so, I mean, this all really has crept into American society in every way. And I read an article recently of 5 ways feminism has made women miserable. And it's true. Like, we all, ladies, we bitch and complain that there are no good men left, I want that Ryan, I want Noah from The Notebook. Like, I just want that sensitive, romantic, man, like, who just took her and threw her against the wall and fucked her. But you want that, but then when you have it, you completely emasculate that man to wither that away, and you're left with what you're not happy with. You literally turn him into the opposite of what you said you wanted. So, I mean, there are ways where all of this really has gotten just far too complicated. And it really, you know, there's this whole the power struggle, okay? So, I feel bad for men. Having a lot of choices, ladies, is a good thing. You know, being able to have all of the things that we have, especially here in the United States. Being able to go to school, to have a job, to choose whether you want to be a working mom or a stay-at-home mom or a mom at all. All of these things, it's great to have choices, but it also complicates the shit out of life. And all of these complications lead to stress, okay? Women today are more stressed out than ever. There was a study done by Boston College that said that women are graduating with less self-esteem than when they entered school. So if we have all of these, you know, female empowering messages and all these women's marches and all that, then why do we feel like shit about ourselves? Do you think that maybe it's not the men that are making us feel that way, but it is this unrealistic idea that we need to have this gender equality bullshit, that we're all trying to fight for that and live up to, and it doesn't exist. It will never exist. I mean, there have been, the Wall Street Journal has even done, 26% of American women are on some kind of mental health medication for anxiety and depression related problems. That's pretty sad. No pun intended. Glamour did a poll in 2015, and the respondents couldn't even explain what being happy meant. Ladies, does this sound like a movement that is really pushing females in the right direction? Does this sound like something you want to be part of? You want to have anxiety and depression and not even know what it means to be happy? Like, to be truly happy. And this is why I feel bad for the men who love us and who are in our lives. So there are downsides to this whole newfound feminism movement, that this third wave of feminism that a lot of people just won't discuss. And I like taking on the difficult things, and so I'm going to discuss it, especially since I was recently called a feminist. So there's the power trade, okay? Like this, we're fighting for all of this equality that we've given up our feminine side so that we can attain what was originally seen as masculine goals. We want that corner office. We want that big promotion, this freedom. We started acting less like ladies and more like lady bros. We're acting like men. And while, trust me, when it comes to sex and knocking down those stereotypes, I absolutely am all for breaking those stereotypes. If men can go around and fuck everything with a pulse and not be called names, then we shouldn't be called names for doing the exact same thing. Okay? I absolutely support that. However, you know, and these are all fantastic goals to have, okay, ladies, the big promotion, the corner, all those things. But did we have to man up to get them? Did we have to start behaving more masculine and less feminine in order to achieve those? How is that helping the feminist cause? Feminists started using that word girly as if it was a bad thing. You know, this is a humanized era we are living in right now. Men used to love girly, and so did women. Now it's a full-blown insult to be called girly. I don't mind it. I'm very feminine. You know, I am dominant, absolutely. But I am also very feminine, you know, and I do take, I embrace that. And there's this whole sect of women who are just, they have their fucking undies in a bunch over this. And women have mistakenly coveted what men had, rather than holding on to the unique female power that we have. As I said, we have always been the compass of society. And we've done that with our femininity, not with masculine power. We've done it with our female power. So why are we so discouraged these days from embracing that? And it just doesn't make sense to me. The other thing is this whole feminist movement, we've all become actresses, okay? Most of us want to get married and have kids, but very few women will actually admit to that. Before you actually have it, very few women will actually admit that that's what they want. Most females don't like it when men don't return their calls for a second date. We care about what guys think. I don't care what, I mean, unless you're a lesbian, and even then, you care about what the person you're dating, whether it, if you're dating another female, you care what she thinks about you. If you're dating guys, you care about what that guy thinks. You care about what that person thinks about how you look, whether or not your needs are getting met, whether or not their needs are getting met. You care about those things. So women, why are we pretending like we don't? It's just, it's inauthentic. You're just portraying yourself. You're denying these female things and portraying yourself in this way that isn't real. Can we all just be fucking honest? Women are so scared to admit that, hey, we don't have it all. Okay? We don't have it all together. And that nobody is being fucking honest. We're stressed out. We're living in a way that's contrary to our biological beliefs, or, you know, our biological makeup. And we're pretending on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter that, oh my God, my life is so perfect. No, bitch, it ain't. Because guess what? You're not, I mean, you're complaining to your girlfriends at brunch that about your boss, about the guy that you dated, about the person that you just broke up with, about, you know, you're complaining. Why hasn't he called me? What? That's not, I mean, we need to take steps to relieve that stress. We need to stop pretending that we're too cool to care. We actually care what other people think. And, you know, you just need to get over that. Feminism has destroyed so many things. It has destroyed the institution of marriage. It has destroyed your sex life. Think about it. It's destroyed chivalry. It's, you know, it's destroyed good old-fashioned manners. It's destroyed nice guys, or what it even means to be a nice guy and whether there are any left. Feminism has destroyed love. It has destroyed romance, because the only thing that's left is handshakes and high fives, because God forbid a man actually, you know, stroke your hand, or women are all like, don't fucking touch me. And that's fine. Yeah, I'm not saying, I'm not promoting rape culture before you all get on my ass about it. Just saying the normal things that were part of dating, the romance of it, the things that make you feel that romantic connection, those things are gone because men are so afraid that women are going to claim rape or call them sexist, or it's just, it's ridiculous. Feminism has killed free speech. I mean, that's just right there, because everything is considered sexist. Everything a man says is considered sexist. Feminism is destroying women, okay? You're just destroying women in general. It really is just a war on women. It's just, it's nuts. And it needs to stop. And so, I found this article that is 10 old-fashioned dating habits that we should bring back. And I think this was written in maybe a couple years ago. These are things now that, you know, they in the not-so-distant past were, you know, maybe the 70s, maybe the 80s. These things were, you know, they're now considered old-fashioned, but they're things that were normal dating behavior. And some of them need to come back in style. Number one is getting picked up at the door. Nowadays, it's, you know, nobody gets picked up at home anymore because we're all freaked out that, oh my God, this weirdo is going to come to my house. I don't think so. I don't want anybody knowing where I live. We're all so afraid that men are just horrible, evil creatures that, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, this was normal. And not because men were any different than they are today. And not because the world was any safer then than it is today. Because, trust me, it wasn't. But it was normal for your date to not only come to your house, but to get out of the car, walk to the door, ring the doorbell, and pick you up for a date. And that's something that, I don't care how creepy it is, I've actually still done that. Like, I think that is how dating should be. And if you feel like you don't know the person well enough, then maybe you shouldn't be meeting them at all. If all you've done is swipe right and send a text message and be like, yeah, meet me here, blah, blah, blah. That's not dating. That's not what a date is supposed to be. And yes, I'm actually going to define what a date is supposed to be. Yes, I'm going to use that word. Getting a text of, hey, I'm outside. The man should come, the person who is picking you up, they should come and pick you up. They should come to your door. It'd be nice if they brought flowers. You know, it's not necessary. It's kind of cool. But they should come to your door. So, ladies, start acting like ladies and let the men pick you up. The other thing that doesn't happen anymore that used to, and I think this is just because of, as I've said in the past, the pajamification of America. People don't dress up for a date. Do you know how many guys I have gone on dates with who, and I'm not talking like we're going to fucking five-star restaurants, but it doesn't matter. This is, you're trying to make an impression on somebody. The least you can do is wear nice clothes and put a little bit of effort into your appearance. Whether it's a nice restaurant or it's fucking Crapplebee's, okay? You're on a date. It's not an everyday situation. You're not hanging around with your buddies. You're not hanging around with your girlfriends. You are on a date. And this should be seen as a special occasion. I don't care if you go on fucking 37 dates a day. This should be seen as something special. And you should dress for the occasion. I'm not saying fucking formal wear, but get out of your pajamas, put the Bob the Builder fucking cargo pants away, and actually dress nicely. Dress to impress. Both sexes need to do this. Asking somebody out on a real date, okay? There's too much of this meet you there or hanging out, and that needs to stop. I mean, I have friends who tell me, no one ever asks me out on official dates. Well, because it's too easy to swipe right, send messages, You never actually have to. You used to have to call someone and ask them out properly on a date, like, or ask them in person. Oh my god! Like, people today, you'd never get somebody to ask you personally, like face to face. I really think that as a society, we've just become incapable of social interaction when it comes to in person. Opening the door for your date. Now, this is something I have to say I actually use as a deal breaker, because it's a chivalrous act. It is a gentleman. It's a good way. Hey, men, it's a good way to get your date's attention. Okay. And it's funny because a guy who doesn't do this, I actually think less of him. And am less likely to go out with him again. I've had guys who, actually my ex, always opened the door every time. Every time we got into the car, he would open it, he would close it. And I'm not talking about like he pressed the button and unlocked it. I mean, he physically opened the door with his hand so I could get in and then closed the door. And unfortunately, this is not something that happens anymore. I mean, and it's because women have emasculated men. This doesn't happen anymore because of feminism, because women are, I can open my own goddamn door. Well, guess what? Men, a good test of a good woman is if you do open the door for her and she doesn't reach over to unlock or open your door. And I'm not talking about like, try this, guys. Try this on your next date. Don't use your button to open the locks. Physically go over with your key, assuming you don't have a keyless entry. Physically go over and unlock that door. And then see if she reaches over to unlock or open yours. Because that's a good test of, you know, my test is the guy going to open the door for me? That's a good test for a man of a woman. Because if she's a considerate person, she will reciprocate you opening the door for her by leaning over and opening the door for you. There are some other things on here that were kind of stupid, like making introductions and, not expecting sex. Nobody, neither gender should expect sex. You shouldn't assume anything on a date. You know, you might be flirting, you might really like each other, and that's fine, but I mean, the whole sex thing, that's, if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. If you're not, you're not. Nobody should expect anything from the other person. Put the cell phone away. And I don't think this is really a feminist thing. I think this is just a societal thing, as we've just become so obsessed with our phones that we need to have them out and we need to have them at every second of our lives. So that's definitely something that needs to happen in dating. And I mean, dating in the, I found some articles because I had to do a little bit of research on this, but dating in the 80s as compared to dating now is, and some of these are funny. In 1987, how'd you two meet? Oh, I saw her at a bar one night. I went up to say hello, and we've been together ever since. And then it says dating today. How'd you two meet? I swiped right on his Tinder picture at a bar one night, and we've been together ever since. It's so true. That sense of hope and possibility when you see the blinking answering machine. Like, nobody has an answering machine. We have voicemail. But apparently that was, you know, the thing. Now we see, and it's comparing, it says now we see the little notification that he's texting. There's just a lot of, like, silly things. Like, when you broke up back then, saying we can still be friends was no reference to Facebook. Photos posted on dating sites are actually slightly less reliable than squinting at someone in a dark bar after a couple drinks. Like, some of these are funny. But really, when it comes to feminism, like, things have changed so drastically from the way that we find dates to the way that we treat each other, narrowing down your choices, just how we contact each other, how we act, the chivalry, sexual encounters, just everything has changed. And feminism is at the heart of that. So when this commenter and listener left a comment on the cuckold episode saying that he was turned on until my feminist side came out, like, that couldn't be farther from the truth, because I absolutely believe, I'm not going to say in gender inequality, because that's not true either, but I definitely have more traditional, we'll say, I'm not going to call it old-fashioned, I'm not going to call it conservative, I have more traditional views when it comes to gender roles. And this is a show about sex and dating and love. And while, yes, I am a modern, independent woman, that doesn't really translate into being a feminist. And that person seriously needs to, I think, really discover what modern day feminism is, because I am so far, I'm the opposite of what these modern day feminists are. And on that note, whether you are a man-hating, bra-burning, pussy-wearing feminazi, or you are the little lady who's at home being the doting housewife, I hope both men and women have found this episode to be enlightening, we'll say. And now it's time for Mistress to put away the whips and the handcuffs, clean the wet spots off the seats, and strut away in my stilettos. Maybe I'm wearing an apron, maybe I'm not. Either way, I love hearing from my dirty listeners. And if you ever want to chat with me about your sexual desires, share your kinky stories, or maybe just leave some feedback like the listeners I spoke about today, you can head on over to my website, bostonsinglegirl.com. You can follow my filthy adventures at Twitter on Boston, B-O-S-T-N, single girl. And of course, if you found this episode to be pleasurable, be sure to come again and again, right here on Renegade Talk Radio. Until then, my dirty little listeners, XOXO.